This week's Parsha is Parshas B'Shalach, and we'll start with chapter 15, verse number 22. Here we are right after Kriyas Yam Suf, right after the miracle of the crossing of the sea. The Pasuk says, Vayase Moshe es Yisrael mi Yam Suf. Moshe Rabbeinu caused the Jewish people to journey from Yam Suf. Vayetzu el Midbar Shur, and they went to the desert of Shur. Vayelchu Shloshes Yomim. Bamidbar, and they walked 3 days in the desert, and they did not find any water. We are first going to explain this pasuk before we continue. Here it's written, Vayasa Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu made the people journey. It's not the normal way that it writes in the pasuk, Vayisu me Yamsuf, that the Jewish people left Yamsuf. It's written, Vayasa, that Moshe Rabbeinu made the Jewish people journey. So Rashi says that he had to make the Jewish people journey against the Jewish people's will, meaning that the Jewish people did not want to leave Yam Suf. Rashi explains why wouldn't they want to leave Yam Suf. Rashi says that the Egyptians adorned their horses with jewelry, gold and silver, and now after they drowned in the sea, the Jewish people were finding these riches by the shores of the sea, and it was greater, the bizas ayam, what the Jewish people took from the sea, even more than what they took from Egypt. Therefore, the Jewish people didn't want to leave. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to make them leave forcibly, meaning that he had to make them move against their will because they didn't want to move since they were getting all the riches and all the spoils from the Egyptian army which they found at the shores of the sea. The Pardes Yosef asks on Rashi that how can Rashi say that the Jewish people wanted to have gold and silver, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to forcibly make them go out of the sea and go to the Midbar to receive the Torah, when we know clearly in Parshas Boy, chapter 11, verse number 2, there the pasuk says, Daber no be'ozne ha'am, speak please in the ears of the people, meaning as the Jewish people, ve'ishalu ish me'isreyu, and each person should borrow from her fellow, ve'isho me'isreusa, and a woman from her fellow, klikesev uklizov, vessels of gold and vessels of silver. Meaning that the Jewish people did not want to go get the gold and silver until Hashem told them to please go ask for gold and silver. Then we see that the Jewish people weren't interested in getting the gold and silver of the Egyptians. Only after Hashem asked them to do it, they did it. Then why here, during the spoils of the sea, the Jewish people are sitting there and waiting to get more spoils of the sea? Why all of a sudden the Jewish people get a change of heart? The Pardes Yosef brings Sefer Reach Dodim, who answers this question based on the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph 31a, where the Gemara there says in the name of Rab Chanina that Godol Metzuve Voise, that if somebody is commanded and does something, it's greater Yoiser Mimishi Eino Metzuve Voise, more than somebody who is not commanded and does it. Meaning that when somebody volunteers for something, his reward is not as great than the reward for somebody who actually is commanded and does the job. Tosfos explains that the reason why somebody who is commanded and does it receives a greater reward is lefisha doig mitzar yoiser pen yavoir, because then he is more worried, maybe he's going to transgress. What does it mean? It means that since the Yetzer Hara is stronger now that you are commanded, because if you are not commanded, it's equivalent to somebody who is traveling and has bread in his pocket who is not hungry, meaning that if he wants to eat, he could eat, and if he doesn't want to eat, he doesn't have to eat. Therefore, somebody who is not commanded doesn't get the reward because he could take it or leave it, but somebody who is commanded and is required to do, then his Yetzer Hara is stronger. Therefore, he's always worried, maybe he's going to transgress. Therefore, when he does it and is able to overcome his Yetzer Hara, he gets a greater reward. We see from here that when you are commanded to do something, then the Yetzirah Hara stands up and the Yetzirah Hara stands in your way. Therefore, it becomes harder for you to do it. Therefore, if you are able to overcome your Yetzirah Hara, you get a greater reward. Sefer Reach Doidolim continues and says that whenever the Jewish people don't deserve a miracle, then they don't deserve to take from the spoils of their enemies. As it's written in Esther chapter 9, verse number 10, that after the Jewish people won the war, after the miracle of Purim, where they destroyed their enemies on the 13th of Adar, and on the 14th of Adar, it's written, Vabiza lo yisholchu es yadom, that from the spoils they did not take any. And the reason they didn't take any is because since the Jewish people at that point did not have enough merits that a miracle should happen to them, and Hashem nonetheless made a miracle that the Jewish people won the war, therefore they were not worthy and they were not meritorious to take from the spoils. And in truth, the same thing has to be regarding Egypt. That in Egypt the Jewish people were also idolaters, they really did not deserve to take any of the spoils of the Egyptians. Therefore, Hashem made a mitzvah that the Jewish people are required to take the spoils of the Egyptians, because they would not take it otherwise, since they were not meritorious to take those spoils. Once Hashem makes the mitzvah that the Jewish people are required to take the spoils of the Egyptian, meaning that they're required to borrow from the Egyptian vessels of gold and vessels of silver, now the Yetzer Hara stays on their way, and therefore the Jewish people really didn't want to take, and they were able to overcome because Hashem told them to make the mitzvah. But here, regarding the crossing of the sea, the Jewish people felt that they are entitled to take the spoils, that they don't have to have a requirement, a mitzvah, to take the spoils. They could take it as much as they want. Why? Because true that originally, when there was the crossing of the sea, it's written in Yalkut Shimonim B'Shalach Remes Reish Lamet Dalet 2:34 that the ministering angel of Esav, the guardian angel of Esav, argued in front of Hashem, why is Hashem destroying the Egyptians when Halalu Oiv De Avoy De Zara, when the Egyptians did Avoy De Zara, the Halalu Oiv De Avoy De Zara, and the Jewish people did Avoy De Zara. And at that point, Hashem asked Gavriel to take one of the children that was put into the wall and bring it up to him. And Hashem proved to the angel of Esav that the Jewish people do deserve to be saved. Then at that point, the Jewish people were entitled to take from the Bizas Ayam, because now they are meritorious and they deserve to take. Therefore, the Jewish people were sitting there waiting to take from Bizas Ayam until Moshe Rabbeinu had to push them off. Again, that originally the Jewish people didn't want to take the spoils of Egypt in Egypt because they were not meritorious, because they were also idolaters and they didn't deserve the miracle. And if they don't deserve the miracle, they're not entitled to get the spoils in the same way that during the miracle of Purim, in the time of Esther, they didn't deserve the miracle. Therefore, it's written there, Vabizo leshalcho es yadom, that they didn't take from the spoils because they didn't deserve the spoils. Therefore, Hashem had to make a mitzvah commandment for them to take the wealth of Egypt. And once Hashem makes a commandment to take something, then we have a Yetzer Hara, a evil inclination that stands on our way, on our making the will of Hashem. Therefore, the Jewish people really had to overcome that Yetzer Hara, and they weren't so excited about taking the wealth of Egypt. And they only took it because Hashem made a commandment for them to take. But here, during the crossing of the sea, the Jewish people deserve to take, because they deserve a miracle, because since Hashem disproved the Saroi Shel Esav, the guardian angel of Esav, now the Jewish people deserve the spoils. Once they deserve the spoils, they sit and wait at the seashore for the spoils to come, until Moshe Rabbeinu had to forcibly remove them from the seashore. In truth, I don't understand the question of the Pardes Yosef based on human nature, meaning that human nature is that he doesn't like covet, he doesn't like honor, and he may not want to have money, but once he has some money or he has some honor, he always wants to get more. As the saying of the Talmud, Yesh lo iman, if a person has 100, roitze mosaim, he wants to have 200. Therefore, it's possible that originally the Jewish people did not want to get from the Bizas Mitzrayim, from the loot of Mitzrayim, but after they received the loot of Mitzrayim, they received a taste for gold and silver, and unfortunately, they were caught up with that taste. They were waiting to get more wealth and more loot of the sea, until Moshe Rabbeinu had to move them out to the desert. The other reason I didn't understand the question of this Pardes Yosef is because of the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Tes, Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. There the Gemara is analyzing the pasuk that we mentioned previously, where Hashem says, Daber no baz neom, that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to please ask the Jewish people to take the spoils of Egypt. The Gemara explains, Omer dvei Rabbi Yanai, that in the Academy of Rabbi Yanai, they said, Ein na elo loshem bakosha, that the word na means please, that Hashem asked Moshe Rabbeinu that please have the Jewish people take the spoils. Why is this so important to Hashem? Because since Hashem had promised to Avraham Avinu in Bereishis chapter 15, that says Vavadum v'ini oisam, that the Jewish people are going to be enslaved and they're going to be afflicted for 400 years, v'achaken yetzu b'rchush gadol, and then they'll come out with a huge wealth, then Hashem didn't want that Avraham Avinu should argue that Vavadum v'ini oisam kiyam bohem, that Hashem afflicted and enslaved them, but v'achaken yetzu b'rchush gadol, that they came out with a wealth, Loikiyam bohem, Hashem did not fulfill. Meaning that since Hashem had promised Avraham Avinu that the Jewish people are going to be enslaved and they'll come out with a huge wealth, and Hashem enslaved them, and yet they didn't come out with a huge wealth, therefore, in order to fulfill the promise that they'll come out with a huge wealth, Hashem asked Moshe Rabbeinu to please ask the Jewish people that they should take the wealth of Egypt in order to fulfill the promise of Hashem to Avraham Avinu. Even though when Hashem said that they will come out with a huge wealth, Hashem meant a spiritual wealth and not a physical wealth, meaning Hashem meant the wealth of receiving the Torah, because there is no greater wealth than the Torah. Nonetheless, Avraham Avinu could have argued in front of Hashem that when Hashem did the first part, that Hashem afflicted and enslaved the Jewish people, Hashem did it not only spiritually, but also physically. And yet, the promise that the Jewish people will come out with a huge wealth, if Hashem will only give them the Torah, then Hashem will only give them a reward spiritually, and not a reward physically. Therefore, Hashem asked that the Jewish people should please go borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver in order to fulfill completely the promise that Hashem made to Avraham Avinu. The Gemara says, Omru loy, that the Jewish people told them, Levai shenetze batzmenu, that Levai, that we should go out with our skin, meaning we don't need any wealth, we are happy just to go out with our skin. The Gemara brings an example, Moshe le'odom she'chovish beveis asirim, an example to a man that was in jail, v'yo'emiloi b'nei adam, that people were saying, v'yitzin o'yischol emachar beveis asirim, v'noiz lechabom en arbet, that tomorrow they're going to release you from jail and they'll give you a lot of money. Oim Elohim, that person who is captive, says, Mevakashem Mechem, Oitzienu Ayoim, Beinu Mevakash Klum, take me out and I don't ask for anything. Meaning that when a person is enslaved and you tell him that he should take a wealth, the person is not interested in wealth, he's happy to just be free and just be able to get away. Therefore, the Gemara says that the Jewish people didn't want to take the wealth in Egypt, and Hashem had to ask them, please take, because otherwise they would not take. According to this comes out that originally in Egypt, when we were enslaved, we weren't interested in taking the money. We were happy just to get away from Egypt by our skin, by our bodies. We didn't need the money. Therefore, Hashem asked us, please take the money, because we really weren't interested in the money. We were happy just to get away. But now, here at the sea, when we saw that the Egyptians are destroyed. Now we're not afraid anymore. We're already free men. At this point, we really want the wealth. Originally by Egypt, when we were slaves, when you were slaves, they promise you that you're going to be free and they're going to give you money. Then you say, just make me free. But now when you are already free and they give you money, sure, you will take the money. Why shouldn't you take the money? Therefore, the Jewish people at the sea were waiting for the business ayam. Originally in Egypt, they weren't interested in the wealth because they were still slaves. But after Hashem took them out of Egypt, after Paroi told them that you are free men, now if you give me wealth, now they'll take the wealth because now they're already free men. So therefore, they were standing by the sea to receive the wealth. And to be done, the Jewish people, the Kaf Schus, I wanted to say that the fact that there is wealth at the seashore, that is a miracle. Meaning, Rashi says that the Egyptians adorned the chariots and the horses with the wealth. The chariots and horses were sunk in the middle of the sea. Normally, jewelry of gold and silver is heavy. Since they are heavy, if they sink in the middle of the sea, they stay in the middle of the sea. They don't wash up on the seashore. So the fact that they washed up on the seashore, it's a miracle. And we know that Hashem doesn't make miracles for nothing. Therefore, the Jewish people understood that they have to take from that wealth, from that bizas hayam. Because if they didn't have to take, why would Hashem make the miracle that they should wash up on the seashore? And the fact that they still washing up after 3 days, then clearly Hashem wants them to take. Therefore, the Jewish people were there waiting to take what Hashem is sending them from the bizas hayam. The Eben Ezra explains the reason that it's written here, Vayasa Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu made them journey, is because this is the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu made by himself the Jewish people journey. Meaning that since up until this point we had Amud Eish, a pillar of fire during the night, and Amud Anon, a pillar of cloud during the day, and up until now we journeyed following those pillars, meaning when the pillars of cloud moved, we moved after them, and when the pillars of fire moved, we moved after it. But those pillars were there in order to protect us from the Egyptians, but now that the Egyptians were destroyed, they weren't required to be there anymore because the Jewish people weren't afraid anymore. Therefore, they disappeared, and now that they needed to journey up to Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that told them to journey. Moshe Rabbeinu made them journey by the word of Hashem, but Moshe Rabbeinu was required to do that because the pillars were not there anymore. And for the 6 journeys that was from here until Mount Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that told the Jewish people to journey and when they should stop. And the Eben Ezra continues and says that during these 40 days, even if you don't have a tent, since the weather is not hot and not cold, you are not harmed. But when they got to Mount Sinai, since they were going to be there for a year, at that point Hashem had told them that they should build Sukkot's hut. Therefore, only at that point is the holiday of Sukkot. Meaning that when it says, Ki basukkot hoshavti es bnei Yisrael, that when I made the Jewish people dwell in Sukkot, the Eben Ezra says that this was the Sukkot that they put at Mount Sinai because they were going to be there for a whole year. But up to Mount Sinai, there wasn't required to be any protection from Hashem anymore. There wasn't required to be any pillar of fire or pillar of cloud. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that made them move. And you could bring a proof to this Eben Ezra that there was no Ananeh HaKovet, no protection from the clouds at this point up to Mount Sinai, from what happened at the end of the Parsha where Amalek comes to fight us in Rephidim. Meaning that in Parshas Chukas, after the death of Aharon, it's written in Bamidbar chapter 20, verse number 29, that the whole nation saw that Aharon passed away,
Aharon Shloishim Yoim Koil Beis Yisrael, that the whole congregation of the Jewish people cried after Aharon for 30 days. And right afterwards it's written, Vaishma Knani Melech Arad, that the Knani, the king of Arad, Yoishev Negev, that dwells in Negev, heard Kibo Yisrael, that the Jewish people are coming Derech HaTorim, in the root of the spies, Vailochem Beisrael, and he fought against the Jews, Vayeshbi Menushevi, and he was able to take a captive. Rashi there explains, based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Dav Gimel Omed Aleph, that Ma Shmua Shoma, what did the Knani heard? Rashi says, Shoma Shamei Saharan, he heard that Aharon died, when Istalko Nana covered, the clouds of glory are gone, meaning the clouds of glory that came in the merit of Aharon, which protected the Jewish people, are now gone, that you could see now the Jewish people, Chesavar, and he believed, Nitna Rishus Elohim Beisrael, that now he has permission to fight the Jewish people. And the Gemara continues, V'ainu Dichsiv, that is the meaning of the Pasuk, V'ayiru Kalweida, that the older Jewish people saw, Kegova Aharon, that Aharon passed away. V'omar Bavu, Rebbe Vavu says, Al Tikri V'ayiru, do not read in that Pasuk, V'ayiru, that the Jewish people saw, meaning that the Jewish people saw that Aharon passed away, Elo Vayirou, with two youths, that the Jewish people were afraid that Aharon passed away. Meaning that they were afraid because Aharon passed away, because now they became uncovered, and as a direct result of them becoming uncovered from the cloud of glory, the Knani comes and fights them right afterwards. And by the way, Rashi says that this Knani wasn't really a Knani, because it's written the Knani, Yoishev HaNegev, that sits in the south, that Knani, Rashi says, was really a Molech. So we see that when we have the clouds of glory, a Molech cannot fight us, because the clouds protect us, and a Molech cannot see. If that is true, how was a Molech able to see us in this week's Parsha? Therefore, we must say that since a Molech was able to see us in this week's Parsha, we had no clouds protecting us. Therefore, the explanation of the Eben Ezra, that Eben Ezra says that up until the point that we got to Sinai, we had no protection, no clouds of glory, and no pillars of fire, fits very well, because that is the only reason that Amalek was able to fight us, and eventually we were able to defeat Amalek. We will soon give another interpretation on this Vayasa Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu made the Jewish people journey. But regarding the continuation of the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says they traveled for 3 days and they couldn't find any water, the Gemara in the Baba Kama, Daf Pei Beis, Omed Aleph, 82a, brings a Braisa. The Braisa says, Doirshe Reshumos, those who expound the verses, write in Maim Elo Torah, that they went 3 days and they couldn't find any water, meaning they couldn't find any Torah, Shenemar, because it's written in Yeshaya chapter 55, verse number 1, Hoikoi Tzoma, anyone who is thirsty, Lechula Maim, go to water, and that water there is referring to Torah. Therefore, when it's written here that they traveled 3 days and they couldn't find any water, it means that they traveled 3 days without Torah. Since they walked 3 days without Torah, Nilu, they became exhausted. And Mefarshim explained that since it's written in the Gemara in Kedushin, the Aflamet Amet Beis 30b, that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, renews itself every day, and if Hashem would not give the Torah, then we wouldn't be able to conquer it. The Hashem created the evil inclination, and Hashem created the Torah as a spice, as an antidote to protect us. And if you walk 3 days without Torah, then the Yetzer Hara gets stronger within you. Therefore, it caused you to become exhausted. Therefore, it caused the Jewish people to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu and complain to him, what are we going to drink? The Gemara continues that because of the bad thing that happened, because we went 3 days without Torah, therefore, the prophets, after Moshe Rabbeinu established that it should never elapse 3 days without reading Torah publicly. Therefore, we read Torah at Mincha and Shabbos, and then we don't read on Sunday. We read on Monday, and we don't read Tuesday, Wednesday, and we read on Thursday, and we don't read on Friday. Like that, the rabbis made sure that 3 days don't pass without us at least reading Torah publicly. And the source for that is our pasuk. The Kli Yakar says that this is not to be taken literally, meaning that when the pasuk says that they went 3 days in the desert and they couldn't find any water, and the Gemara says that this is referring to Torah, it cannot mean just that they couldn't find any Torah, because if that is the point, why in Pasuk number 25, after the Jewish people fight with Moshe Rabbeinu, they complain, what are we going to drink? There it's written, Vayitzak el Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem, screamed to Hashem, Vayorehu Hashem ate, and Hashem showed them a wood, Vayashlech el Amayim, and he threw it into the water, Vayimtiku Amayim, and the waters became sweet. If in actuality there was no lack of water, and the waters were not bitter, why is Moshe Rabbeinu throwing a wood into the water for them to drink? They weren't lacking any water, all they were lacking is Torah. Therefore, the Kli Yakar says that when the Torah writes down that they went 3 days in the desert and they couldn't find any water, literally they couldn't find any water. But the Dorish Reshumos, those who expound what is written, they are trying to understand why in fact Hashem punished the Jewish people that they shouldn't find any water. Therefore, they explain that since water is equivalent to Torah, and we know Hashem always punishes midah keneged midah, measure for measure, therefore Hashem is punishing the Jewish people that they can't find any water because they weren't interested in Torah. Meaning that since they were spending so much time with the bizas ayam by getting the loot that is in the sea, because of that they didn't go to Mamad Har Sinai, they delayed going to receive the Torah. Because they neglected the Torah, Hashem made sure that they don't get any water. Since Torah is symbolized for water, and by them spending so much time by the sea collecting the loot, they neglected to go to Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. Therefore, Hashem punished them that they will not find any water for them to realize that they did a huge mistake by not going quickly and receive the Torah. Just as an aside regarding this walking 3 days without water, the Rabbeinu Hananel says that it wasn't 3 days that they walked without water. They in reality only walked 1 day, and that day they didn't have any water. And Rabbeinu Hananel explains that it's not normal that a person shouldn't drink water for 3 days and be able to sustain himself. Even if an adult could sustain himself, you still have pregnant women and children which cannot sustain themselves by going 3 days without water. And what's written that they went 3 days without water, it means that they went the distance of 3 days, but that distance they went in 1 day. And they bring proof to this Rabbeinu Hananel from what's written in Parshas Maaseh, in Bamidbar chapter 33, verse number 8, because there it's written, Vayelchu derech shloshes yamim, they went the way of 3 days, and Targum Onkelos says, V'ozlu mahalech tlasa yamim, that they walked the distance of 3 days, but they were able to do it in 1 day, and that day they didn't have any water. But the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos says that it was actually 3 days without water, but that doesn't mean that for 3 days they did not drink. It means that they brought water from Egypt, and that water lasted up to another 3 days. After they traveled 3 days without finding any new water, they went to complain to Hashem, give us water. But it wasn't that they were without water for 3 days. They were able to walk 3 days and not find water, but nonetheless they still had water because they brought water out from Egypt, or they took water from the Yam Suf. Therefore, it's possible that it was in actuality 3 days, and still the children would have what to drink because they still had water in their pots, and as soon as the water in their pots finished, then they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they complained, Ma Nishta, what are we going to drink?
Going back to our analysis of the pasuk that we're discussing, the pasuk says, "Vayasa Moshe Yisrael miYamsuf," that Moshe Rabbeinu made the Jewish people journey from Yamsuf, "Vayetzu el Midbar Shur," they went to the desert of Shur, "Vayelchu Shloishes Yomim baMidbar," they went 3 days in the desert, "Veloimotzu Mayim," and did not find any water. Devin Ezra is bothered by the name of the desert, Midbar Shur, the desert of Shur, where in Parshas Masay, in Bamidbar, chapter 33, verse number 8, there it says that this desert was called Midbar Esam, the desert of Esam, because there the verse says, "Vayisu mipnei achirois," that they traveled from Piachirois, "Vayavru b'soch hayom ha-midbara," and they crossed the sea into the desert, "Vayelchu derech shloishes yomim," and they traveled a distance of 3 days, "Bemidbar Esam," in the desert of Esam, "Vayachnu b'moro," and then they came to Moro, meaning the place that they traveled before Moro was Midbar Esam. And by us it's written that the place that they traveled before Moro was Midbar Shur. Devin Ezra gives two different answers. The first answer is that Esam is Shur, that's the same place, and that desert has two names, either Midbar Shur or Midbar Esam. Or he says that maybe that is two different towns in the Midbar. The desert has two different towns, one is called Esam, one is called Shur, and since they cross through both towns and they didn't find any water, therefore it's written that they traveled in that desert and they didn't find any water. The Zohar HaKodesh gives a completely different interpretation on this pasuk, and he says that quite opposite. This pasuk is showing how lofty the Jewish people are, meaning that since that during the crossing of the sea we were exposed to Ziva Shechina, to the splendor of the divine presence, because the Jewish people said, "Zekeli vanveyu," this is my God, and I will build them, I will tell his greatness to everybody. The language "ze" is always when I'm pointing at something, when I see something in front of me, "ze," this is, that means that the Jewish people were gazing at Hashem, they were able to see his divine presence. They became so connected to Hashem, they became so elevated, that they did not want to leave Yamsuf because they always wanted to be connected to the place of the Shechina, until Hashem removed his presence and placed his presence in the Midbar Shur, in the desert of Shur. And he explains that that's why it's written here, "Vayasa Moshe," that Moshe Rabbeinu had to make the Jewish people go because they didn't want to go, they wanted to become connected to the Shechina, but after the Shechina left, they still thought that the Shechina is going to reappear, it's going to be there, but Moshe Rabbeinu told them that he should go to the desert, because in the desert is where the Shechina is going to reappear, because only in the Midbar Shur, that's where the Shechina is going to reappear. And the Zohar continues and says that this is the reason why it's called the Midbar Shur, the desert of Shur, because since it's written in Bamidbar, chapter 23, verse number 9, "Kimerosh tsuri mereno," that from the top of the rocks I will see him, "Umigvois ashureno," and from great heights I will gaze him, I will see him, then the word ashureno means see. And here too, Midbar Shur is the desert where you gaze at Hashem, where you see Hashem. The Jewish people wanted to go to Midbar Shur because they want, and the Rabbeinu Bachya agrees with this idea, because he says that the Midbar Shur is called Al Shem Istaklu Zachochma, because they were looking for wisdom. That's why the Jewish people are called Yeshurun, because they are always gazing into wisdom from the language Ashurenu. And Rabbeinu Bachya continues and says that the Jewish people were trying to go Mimalo Lemalo, from one high level to a higher level, Mechoil El Choil, from one greatness to the other greatness, Miyamsuf, from Yamsuf to a greater greatness, even though in Yamsuf they achieved a very high greatness because they saw a level of the Shechina. Nonetheless, they trying to get to a greater greatness by going to the Midbar Shur, and he continues and says that Midbar Shur is the same as Midbar Esam, but here it's called Midbar Shur because the Jewish people are looking to that desert to gaze at wisdom, to be able to get to a higher level of wisdom. Sefer Meshivas Nofesh in Perek Gimel says that this is the reason why Hashem didn't give them the Torah right away after they left Egypt, meaning that right after Kriyas Yamsuf, after they saw Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu tried to be Mashpia, to bestow on the Jewish people at one time all the knowledges that are hidden in the Torah, from the fear of Hashem till the knowledge of the Chochmas Elohim, of the wisdom of Hashem, up to the Masa Merkava, up to the secrets of the chariots, which are the secrets of how Hashem works in heaven. And this is how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to convince the Jewish people to leave the site of the Yamsuf and go to receive the Torah. And the Jewish people agreed to do this, and they decided to journey 3 days. But during these 3 days, Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to teach them, and yet they are not getting it. They are not understanding because they are not completely refined yet. They have no basic knowledge of Torah. And if you have no basic knowledge of Torah, it is very hard for you to achieve and accomplish the high secrets of the Torah. Therefore, they traveled 3 days where they were trying to get the wisdom of Hashem. But yet they could not find the Torah, they could not understand it. Not only that, for them the Torah was getting bitter, because since they did not understand it, it seemed something very strange, something that they can't consume, that they can't internalize. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that he cannot teach them because they are not getting it. Moshe Rabbeinu screamed to Hashem. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Vayitzak El Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, screamed to Hashem, and in turn, Vayorei Hashem Eitz, that Hashem taught him Eitz, a tree. It is not written Vayareyu Hashem Eitz, that Hashem showed them a tree. It's written Vayoreyu Hashem Eitz, that Hashem taught him Eitz, a tree. And the Ramban is also bothered by the language Vayoreyu, that Hashem taught him. Therefore, the Ramban says that either Hashem taught him how to use the tree, or Hashem taught him where the tree is. But clearly, Vayoreyu is not that Hashem showed him, is that Hashem taught him from the language more, teacher. But according to the Meshivas Nafesh, Hashem taught him that he should start with the Torah Shebichsav, with the written Torah. Because since the Mechilta Reb Shimon bar Yochai in Perek Tezvav says that Doirshir Shuma is Omrim, that those who analyze the Psukim used to say, Horeyu divre Torah Shemeshulim be'eitz, that Hashem taught him Torah that's symbolized as a tree, because it's written in Mishle, chapter 3, verse 18, Eitz Chaimi Lamach Zikimba, the Torah is a tree of life for those who hold on to it, meaning that the Torah Shebichsav is considered like the tree. Then according to the Sefer Meshivas Nofesh, Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he should start teaching the Jewish people Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. Don't jump so fast to the Torah Shebaal Peh, to the oral law and to the hidden secrets of the Torah. You first have to teach them slowly the written Torah, and only after they master the written Torah, then they could jump ahead and start with the secrets of the Torah. You can't start learning Kabbalah unless you first master the written Torah, the Torah Shebichsav. And in the same way that when you plant a tree, it takes some time, sometimes many years, until you see some fruits out of the tree, even though the main purpose for you planting the tree is the fruit, but nonetheless, until you get to that point, you have to go through a lot of exertion. So too, the fruit of the Torah Shebichsav is really the Torah Shebaal Peh, but you cannot get to that point unless you have a lot of exertion in your Torah Shebichsav, in your written Torah. And only after you master the written Torah, that is when you should go to try to collect the fruits, to try to get to the hidden secrets of the Torah, to the Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu did that, he threw that tree, meaning he taught the Jewish people Torah Shebichsav, and therefore Vayimtaku HaMayim, and the waters became sweet, because now the Jewish people are starting to understand what is written in the Torah, they are starting to make sense how beautiful the Torah is, and then the Jewish people really see the sweetness of the Torah. And my bracha is that we should continue to learn Torah, and we should all find the sweetness of the Torah, and if we continue learning, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen.